Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Hope you're doing well. I wanted to tell you guys about a couple things this morning before we really get started on the lesson. One is this is our volunteer and parent banquet we're going to be having for the teenagers, but actually not for the teenagers. Teenagers, you are not invited to this. But everyone who is a parent of a teen or if you've volunteered in any way for our youth group, over the past year, we want you to be there. This little weird-looking box on the bottom is called a QR code. What you can do is get your camera out on your phone and just point it at it. Don't take a picture. Just point it at it, and something will pop up, and you can click on it and follow the link straight to the sign-up for that. It's really cool, and we want this to be a night where we just thank all our volunteers and our parents that make our youth ministry work. And then also, I wanted to tell you again about our Christian Parenting Conference. As I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, me and Eric have figured everything out about parenting, and we want you to come listen to us. No, just kidding, obviously. We have some guest speakers coming in, and we are going to just spend some time together talking about how tough it is right now in our generation to be Christian parents to teenagers. And sorry, not just the teenagers, that's just what I'm used to saying, all the way down. Parents of all ages and of all kids' ages are invited to this. It also has a cool little QR code there. You can sign up for that. Lunch will be provided. We'll have coffee and some a light breakfast that morning. We're going to have donuts. So make sure you sign up for this. Come and just spend some time together fellowshipping with other Christian parents and spending time listening to God's word and what he might have to say about that too. Also, invite your friends to this. We want this to be something that's beneficial to everybody that is out there trying to be a Christian parent. You don't have to be a member here at River Chase to come to this. Please sign up and tell your friends about this. Okay, announcements are over. Now we can get started with today's lesson. And, you know, it's been a little crazy morning already this morning. I already got in trouble from Lindsay. He got on to me for not wearing my jacket this morning. Let me just run through a couple things that happened. I had one who found some makeup that she started putting on, some deep red lipstick, once she already had her dress on for the morning. I had one who didn't want to wake up after the alarm was up and the alarm was in his bed. His sister was trying to wake him up. I had one who woke up way before the alarm went off. And then right as we were getting ready to leave, Parker decided to start making us a present. And so things were hectic this morning and I left my jacket behind. But that's just kind of where we are at in life right now. Life is just running late in general all the time right now. And I wonder one day, like when my kids look back on their time in our household, what are they going to think about when they think about me? Are they going to think about this like rushed, stressed parent that's always rushing them out the door? And, you know, there's some days where I get home and I feel like all I do that afternoon is get on to the kids. Do you ever have days like that? For those of you that have kids, those of you that did have kids, you ever feel like there's some days where it's like, man, all I did today was get onto them? I wonder, like, is that what they're going to remember? I hope not. I hope they also remember me being silly with them and singing songs and dancing in the kitchen and wrestling on the floor and reading books to them at night and all those good things. But sometimes, you know, especially when we look back on people or when we think about people who maybe we don't know very well, we start to think of them in one specific aspect of their personality. Before I came here, I used to go to Horizons at Freed every summer, and I was part of what we did each morning was this morning show. And all it was a silly thing for the kids to be able to wake up. And there wasn't, you know, the rest of the day they're going to be in these really serious Bible classes. What we wanted to do was wake up and be silly. And Jerry Elder was kind of in charge of that. Him and another guy had been doing it for years and years. And they brought me along with them to do that. And so when I was on stage, I kind of played this role. And that wasn't really, you know, me. It was just me being silly. And it was kind of like this, like, if you're familiar with Will Ferrell in Elf, that's kind of who I was up on the stage. for those of you not familiar, it was a lot like this. And I was just all over the stage like this and just being really, really silly. And it was funny because I would come off and, you know, there's a couple hundreds of kids out there and they would talk to me individually. They'd be like, hey, it was so funny. And I would talk like this and they'd be like, wait a second. That's not who you are. And I'm like, no, I'm not a cartoon character in real life. You know, and it's funny how some people may see that and see only one side of me, or maybe the other, and somebody saw me, the only person, time they ever saw me was they heard me speak on a really, really serious subject. And then they see me laughing and goofing off with my kids or with the teenagers, and that shakes things up. We have a tendency to put people in a box. We have a tendency to say, this person is a serious person. This person is a silly person. You know, this is somebody who is very oriented towards whatever. We like to put people in boxes. We like to think we've figured people out. But in reality, we're all very complex people. In reality, we all have different sides to this person that we are. I've seen some very serious people be very silly. I've seen some very silly people become very serious. And the thing is we're all complicated and well-rounded. And what we're going to talk about today is one of the aspects of Jesus that I think sometimes we don't think about. Even when we're putting Jesus into our box in our head, sometimes we don't think about this idea of joy. That Jesus must have been joyful. Now, I will admit to you something this morning. I was given this topic. Next month, I'm going to speak at an area-wide youth devotional with a bunch of different churches, and they told me that they are doing a series talking about the aspects of God and how you can see all the different parts of who God is through Jesus. And they were like, and here's what we've got for you. We want you to talk about the joy of Jesus. His sense of humor, like his smiling face. Can I be honest with you for a minute? How do you write a sermon about the smiling face and the humor of a man known as the Man of Sorrows? That was my first thought. I was like, how am I going to do this? I started going through like stories of Jesus in my head, and I'm like, well, he got onto Peter that one time. He got onto Peter again, you know, and I'm thinking about these times. I'm like, he's yelling at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and telling them to get out. And then he's dealing with some really serious sicknesses and stuff like that. He's healing people that are hurt. He's lifting people up that are destitute and put out. I'm not seeing a lot of stuff about his happiness in this. Jesus wept, right? He didn't laugh. When we think about that memory verse we all like, he wept. He didn't laugh. And so when I got this, I got to admit, I was struggling. I texted some other minister friends of mine and preacher friends of mine, and I'm like, hey, this is my topic. And one of them just sent, ha ha. He was like, they got you, man. And he ended up helping me out, and as I thought about it and stuff. But it is, I think this is something that we look over. We don't think about Jesus as being joyful. Go ahead, close your eyes for a second. If you feel comfortable with that, close your eyes and picture your favorite story of Jesus. Is he laughing? Is he smiling? Probably not. If you think about most pictures you've ever seen of Jesus, if you think back to the pictures that, you know, hanging in museums or hanging in people's houses of this depiction of Jesus, he's usually not smiling. Now, recently, there's been a series on TV called The Chosen, and they actually have Jesus smile in that a lot. But it's different than what we're used to. Because Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, tells us that, prophesying about Jesus, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's not necessarily a joyful image. This man of sorrows. When I started thinking about this, I didn't really know what to do. But here's the thing. Jesus did, the reason I think that we think of Jesus as being very serious and we don't necessarily usually depict him as laughing and smiling is because he was doing some serious stuff, right? Jesus was kind of coming into the world like a soldier coming and creating a beachhead on enemy territory. The world had been corrupted by sin through Adam and Eve, and then for the rest of time through all of us. And what he did was he came to start touching that and fixing that. And he's healing people who are sick and outcast. He is bringing people back from the dead, and he's eventually going to conquer death itself. Okay? He's on a serious, serious mission. And so it's not wrong of us to think about Jesus as being serious. John 16, verse 33 tells us this. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying this is what he came to do. He came to overcome the world, not to enjoy it, right? But here's the thing. I also think that Jesus must have been joyful. Even though he was on a very serious mission, even though when we think about stories of Jesus and we think about what he did and all these wonderful stories, he must have been serious in a lot of them. I think he also must have been a joyful person. First of all, being human involves sometimes smiling and laughing. And Jesus was human. It's almost, I saw a writing that said, to say that Jesus never expressed joy through laughter is akin to denying his full humanity. As a kid, he probably laughed just like the other kids. As an adult with his friends, with his close friends, they probably laughed. They probably spent time smiling together and enjoying each other's company. A second thing is, sometimes we do get a glimpse of maybe Jesus' joy. The problem is, in first century, when they were writing these stories, they didn't do the kind of illustrative writing that we do today. You won't find anywhere in this ancient writing where it says, and so-and-so came around the corner, his face beaming like the light of the, you know, you're not going to see that. You're not going to see that language. It was much more to the point. But we can see hints of Jesus' joy. When the disciples try and be really, really serious one time when Jesus is teaching, it more than one time probably, when he's teaching in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, they start trying to keep the little kids away from him. We all know this story, right? Jesus is teaching and they're like, hey, keep the little kids. What does that sound like? This is serious. We're being serious right now. Don't bring those kids over here. What does Jesus do? He says, bring the little kids to me. And it actually says in Mark here that he takes them into his arms. I have a couple of little kids, and sometimes they're weird. Sometimes they see somebody, and they're like, oh, I've never met you before. Pick me up. And sometimes they're the complete opposite, like they were when Miss Kim this morning tried to rescue my kids as we rushed into the building and my wife went to take care of that present we talked about earlier. Miss Kim came to rescue my kids, and someone who they know and love and usually run to, they're like, we don't know how kids are going to react most of the time, but there are some people who kids don't go to. Right? Who they can tell. Jesus obviously is someone who the kids want to be around, who they're willing to let him take them into their arms. I see that's probably a joyful person. And so we see, he points out in Luke chapter 7, verse 34, that people in the world, as Jesus is going about, he gets onto them because he says, when John the Baptist was here, y'all said that he must have a demon because he didn't go to parties. He was such a serious person. He didn't do this and do that. He must have had a demon. But me, you call a drunkard. Because I think Jesus was enjoying life. He was a joyful person. a drunkard and a partier is what they called him. And then in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, he told John's disciples when they come to him and they're like, why don't your disciples fast? And he's like, why would they? There's no reason to mourn right now. I'm like a bridegroom. That's, you know, someone who's about to get married. A joyful person, right? He says, why would they mourn? I'm with them right now. Once I'm gone, it'll be time to be sad again. So we see little hints of maybe Jesus being a pretty joyful person. And then also we might see a couple times when maybe Jesus is actually a little funny, okay? And some of his illustrations, sometimes they're kind of funny. Now we've heard them a million times, and so they're not really funny or extreme or absurd to us. But have you ever really thought about the log in the eye thing? When he's like, you're trying to get the speck out of your brother's eyes when you have a giant tree-long log sticking out of your own eye. It's funny. It's absurdity. It's comedy. And then when he talks about a camel fitting through the eye of a needle, you know, regardless of what that literally means, it's a funny picture of some. I picture like a man like shoving with his shoulder, trying to get his camel through the eye of something that's clearly too small. He uses, at the very least, some kind of lighthearted absurdity in some of his illustrations. And so maybe there have been some people who have pointed at this and say, see, Jesus was a comedian. I'm not saying that. But maybe he wasn't always so serious. Maybe his joy leaked out into his lessons. It leaked out into his life. But most importantly, the reason he must have been joyful is because he was perfect. Jesus came to be the perfect human being, to show us what it really meant to be a human, what God intended humanity to look like. That's what he came to show us. And we know over and over and over again, the Bible tells us how important and how good of a thing joy is. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, even when you meet trials of various kinds. And then these two last ones are my favorite. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Joy is in there. If Jesus wasn't producing the fruits of the Spirit, I don't think we have a chance. And joy is right there in that list. And then Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At the right hand are pleasures forevermore. We're talking about Jesus was God in human form. He shows us what God is like. And in Psalms here, it's telling us that being in the presence of God fills us up with joy. Fills us up with being joy filled, fullness of joy. Not just something that hits us and not just something that kind of sits there and we see every once in a while and we're like, yeah, I know what joy is. But something that fills us up. And being in the presence of God gives us the fullness of that joy. But here's the thing. We already talked about how Jesus was serious. But Jesus didn't lose his joyfulness when things got serious. His joy sustained him even when things got serious. His joy is what pulled him through when things got bad. In Matthew 26, verses 37 and through 38, he's sitting in the garden and things could not be more serious. He is dealing with some intense emotions as he says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. He's got the agonies of the betrayal of one of his best friends. He's about to be denied by one of his closest disciples. He's about to go to trial for a bunch of corrupt officials. He's going to be mocked and beaten and killed by a bunch of godless soldiers. Things are really serious. But we get a little insight into why he does that. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, therefore, and just to give you some context, okay, Hebrew writer here is talking about that hall of faith, all these people that are full of faith that we've seen in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, we see some too. And he's saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, listen, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had joy because his joy wasn't seated in earthly pleasures. It was seated in something that was coming to him on the other side of the cross. His joy was full and overflowing, not because everything was going honky-dory for him, but because he knew that something better was coming. He knew there was a reason to be filled with joy, that even in the worst moments of his life, joy was coming in its fullness. And so for the joy set before him, he endured the cross for our sake. And when we go back and we read those passages about him being a man of sorrows, we don't read that it's because of his burdens. What we read is he took on our burdens, and he was able to hold that, not because he lacked joy, but because he had so much joy, because he was so looking forward to what was coming next, because he understood the realities of this world and what it really is. Because of that, he was able to keep going. And the coolest thing is that his joy also sustains us. Excuse me. His joy also sustains us. And we see this. It's in Scripture. It tells us. And he starts out with his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 11. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. He tells his disciples here, and honestly, again, going back to this thing about Jesus must have been a joyful person. If he wasn't a joyful person talking to his closest friends, this sentence wouldn't make sense. When he says, I want my joy to be in you, just like I listened to my Father, and my love is found in him. I want you to find your love in me. And I want you to be able to experience the fullness of the joy that comes from a relationship and a closeness with God. That doesn't make sense unless he's a joyful, joyful person. And he wants it to make sense, and he wants them to join him in this joyfulness. And then a couple chapters later, he's praying. In chapter 17, verse 13 of John, chapter 17, verse 13, he's praying and he says, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He wants you to be filled with joy, with his joy, sustaining joy, not just happiness in the moment, sometimes even with the absence of happiness in the moment, he wants you to be full of joy. There's a popular Christian writer, and he wrote this, Christ not only offers himself as the divine object of joy, but pours his capacity for joy into me so that I can enjoy him with the very joy of God. I think that's awesome. I think that's beautiful. And if I'm really honest, I think that sometimes we miss on it. And that's a shame on us. If if we go about our life and people see sides of us, you know that thing we talked about? One of our elders here just the other day, we were talking about some things, and he mentioned that old saying that you only get one chance at a first impression, right? What's that first impression going to look like to the world, to the people you meet? Are we putting out this outlook out there that we're better than everybody else? Are we putting a look out there that we're grumpy all the time? That everything has to be super serious and perfect? Are we showing love, grace, joy, peace, patience, kindness? Things that Jesus showed, things that Jesus was. We have to be fully rounded as Christians. These, I'm not downplaying the importance of commandments and things that we're supposed to do. But today I want to just lift up some of the things I think we overlook sometimes. In our worship, as we sing, when we pray, when we're dealing with other people, when we're dealing with each other, we have to have this sustaining joy. Maybe this morning, I don't know where you are, but maybe you've kind of pulled away from some of that joy. Life has gotten crazy. Life has gotten tough. And it's so easy to get in a negative place and a negative attitude. And that's just where you are right now. And you need us to pray with you and be there for you and help encourage you. We would love to do that. In just a minute, we're going to sing. If you'll come down here and let us pray for you and build you up, we would love to do that. But maybe you've never become a Christian. Maybe you've never met Jesus in the burial that is baptism and come up this new creature that is filled with this joy, that closeness in relationship to God. We can do that as well this morning. We just ask if you need anything that you please come down front as we stand and sing this song.